WSR FM 99.7.
You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them they and all, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I am, of course, your host, Troy Murphy, and this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show. A huge thank you to Jamie Sims for the first hour of Thursday Drive. As we kick off hour two, you can, of course, catch Jamie again on Saturdays from midday, and then back again for the Thursday night lineup. I'm going to call us Jamie. First hour of Drive, Jamie, the music man. Followed by me, Troy, news and talk. And then after me, at 7 p.m. tonight, A League of Their Own with Lauren, Sports Chick. Oh, how good are Thursday nights here on TSR? You got music, you got talk, and you got sport. Speaking of the talk, the Troy Murphy Show is a talk show, and I am back here on TSR. Each week, going to take a look at what's happening locally and around the world, from the weird, the wacky, the wonderful, to politics, to celeb, to gossip, and all the bits and bots in between. We'll even follow the bouncy ball of the ever-changing correctness rules of society, and of course done in a fun and entertaining way. Now, there will also be some serious moments here on the Troy Murphy Show, but we are mostly here to have fun and to entertain and to help make sense of what's going on in the world around us. Now, to those who have been long listeners to 2SR as a station, we'll remember that the Troy Murphy Show and its other incarnation, the Andrew and Troy Show, are not strangers here. And it's heartwarming that after announcing my return here, that I got personally a lot of positive feedback from former listeners who are excited to have us back. And it's great to be back. A little bit nervous. It's been about 7 years since I've done live radio, so a little bit rough around the edges, but we'll give it a go. And to answer a much asked question, and that question being if my former co-host Andrew will be joining the Troy Murphy Show, the answer is sadly no. See, what happened to Andrew a few years ago? He was attacked by drop bears. Yes, drop bears, you heard me correct. But luckily, he survived, mostly because he's small, charismatic, and a little bit of a furry creature himself. Anyway, last I heard, they made him their leader, and rumour has it that they're planning to go to war with the people of Australia in a scale much larger than the Emu Wars. Look, already a couple minutes into the show, and it's already gone on a weird tangent. To get back on the beaten track, let's have a quick glance at what's been happening in the news week. Firstly, what a week to be back. The first week after a federal election and a change of government, and of course it's budget week. And of course you got the opposition budget reply tonight. But let me just say, being part political junkie, at least a segment each week of this show will be spent looking at the wonderful world of politics and cutting through the spin and keeping those running the joint accountable for what they promise and what they deliver, especially on contentious issues, as well as keeping those in opposition and those on the sidelines accountable too. But like I said, what a week to come back to radio. We'll be getting into politics later on in the show. Also this week, we saw a 100-page report published into the way Australia handled its response to the COVID pandemic. I haven't read it in full. It is on my desktop to read, but skimming through the report found there were four areas where we should have done better, and they were through economic support, lockdown and borders closures should have been used less, schools should have stayed open, and older Australians should have been better protected. These were just a few of the recommendations and lessons that were learnt in the detailed report. Now, of course, in hindsight, all this reporting is a brilliant thing, but it is certainly a step in the right direction for the call for a royal commission into how the pandemic was handled and how we can do better for, next time. For those who are a part of the many Sutherland Shire community groups on Facebook might be familiar with my work there throughout the pandemic, with my daily graph postings throughout as I charted the rise of infections and the vaccination rates of the Southern Shire. It was an interesting time to do daily reporting. Now, look, I know talking about the weather is often a contentious issue, not really contentious, more of a conversation killer, a bit of a filler, an indication that conversation is going nowhere, but not here, because I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there has been, well, a little bit of rain lately. And of course, thoughts and care to those who are experiencing the floods at the moment. But how's about this for some weather facts? It's been our wettest year on record since the record started in 1908, and we still have 2 months of the year to go. This month, October, has been the wettest October ever, and we've had about 8 or so days without rain. Thank goodness that number is going to increase over the next couple of days as the Weather Bureau, the bomb, which I'll get into in a second, have graciously told us that we've got a few sunny days ahead. Finally, I can do some gardening. Speaking of the bomb, the Bureau of Meteorology, oh, such a mouthful, they got themselves into a bit of hot water this week with the media trying to dictate to us in the media what we should call them. They spent $220,000 of taxpaying dollars on a rebranding attempt only to backflip 24 hours later after serious backlash. They will always be the bomb. They always have been, always will be, and I could have told them that for a third of the price ticket. Now to entertainment news this week. Those who, like myself, thirst after Henry Cavill in his blue and red spandex, good news, everyone. He's just announced that he's back to play Superman.
I wanted to make it official that I am back as Superman. And the image you see on this post and what you saw in Black Adam are just a very small taste of things to come.
Oh, this is exciting, ladies and gentlemen. Exciting! But does this mean he won't be James Bond? He was at the forefront, or at least in second best position for the role behind Reggie Jean Page. I guess we will just have to wait and see. Coming up on the show this afternoon, we ask the hard-hitting questions, and the hard-hitting question we're asking tonight does showering shorten your life? Only the groundbreaking stuff here on the Troy Murphy Show. We'll also be talking about new timeout zones, proposed timeout zones for drunk pub goers. Kanye West gets a mention as he gets the boot. We'll discuss the destruction of art in the name of protest. Budget and politics, we will discuss that, but in a unique, fun way. And of course, we'll be checking the news, the local news from in and around the Sutherland Shire. Whew, glad we got all that out. All that and so much more tonight here on the Troy Murphy Show.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky there's a Troy Murphy Show. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
Ponder this when out at a restaurant waiting for the waiter makes you the waiter.
You're listening to
Toto. I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
The Troy Murphy Show.
Does showering shorten your lifespan? Indeed, an interesting question that has plagued generations. Not really, just tonight here on the show. But it may have been proven that showering shortens your lifespan, because there is some evidence that has come out this week to support this theory. Let me explain. According to a report done by the BBC, a hermit dubbed by the media as the world's dirtiest man has died at the age of 94, just months, and this is the doozy part, pay attention, just months after having his first wash in decades. Yes, the gentleman whose name is, and I won't pronounce this correctly because I'm terrible with names, Amu Haji, He refused to use soap and water for more than half a century, fearing that it would make him sick. Now, the Iranian man who lived in the southern province of Fars had avoided previous attempts by villagers to get him clean. But local media say that this man, I won't pronounce his name again because I butchered it the first time, finally succumbed to pressure and had a wash a few months ago. Now, according to Iran's IRNA news agency, he became ill shortly afterwards and died on Sunday. I shouldn't laugh. That's not funny. That's actually quite tragic. But in a previous interview given to the Tehran Times in 2014, he revealed his favorite meal was porcupine, like roadkill. And he lived between a hole in the ground and a brick shack built by concerned neighbours in the village where he lived. Now, years of not bathing left him covered in, well, soot and pus. Apologies if anyone's having dinner, but it is more of a drive home show. This anyway, and his diet consisted of meat that wasn't proper. Rotten meat, and he drank unsanitary water from an old oil can. He also was fond of smoking and was pictured on numerous occasions smoking several cigarettes at once. Attempts to bathe him or clean him or to get him to drink clean water made him sad, he told the news. However, whether he holds the record of having gone through the longest without taking a bath has been a matter of some debate. Yes, people are debating this because back in 2009, there were reports of an Indian man who had at that point not washed or brushed his teeth for 35 years. What happened to him since was not quite clear. So, I am not saying that showering or remaining clean will shorten your lifespan. But what I am going to say is that I'm not going to feel guilty next time I am too lazy to shower and forget to bathe for a day or two. Lucky I live alone.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
2SSR can help you promote your business. With an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan, our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2ssr.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hey guys, Kieran here with the Antiques and Alternate Show, playing you Aussie alt and older antique songs. Join me 6 to 7 p.m. Fridays for a bit of fun and a fresh new quiz every week. Tune in then.
The biggest variety in Sydney. 2SSR. FM 99.7.
All right, I was meant to play the traffic ID. Clearly, getting used to the whole thing here. Let's check out traffic for the drive home. No problems to report on the roads. And to check local reports that are coming in through on 9545 1800. The police are still lurking around Guymere and Miranda. That was about 20 minutes ago that report came in on Sylvania Road. Pothole still in Caringbah on the Kingsway. And we've got some heavy traffic around Miranda on the Kingsway. Oh, police have moved up to Turok Avenue in Tarran Point. If you do see any problems with traffic, make sure you call it through on 9545 1800.
It's like trying to work out what the colour 9 smells like.
Not the mama!
It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Indeed it is. What does the colour 9 smell like? Anyway, what a week to be back on radio and to promise to talk about all that's happening in the news. Now, I know most people, when they hear the word budget and report in the same sentence, and that sentence also includes the word politics, people glaze over with boredom. I don't blame you. It is can be a bit of a boring topic, but let me point this out. The nation goes a little bit bat poop crazy around election time, trying to vote a mob in or vote a mob out, change the balance of power, get their issues raised as more important during an election campaign, and get more spending on insert political issue here. What surprises me is how little then people go on to care about budget night. You see, during an election, a government in power or a government wanting to be elect starts promising a lot of random stuff. In fact, most will have a few key pet issues that they push and push depending on polling that they do with the public. Now, these parties, these political parties, when elect, say that these issues that they pushed during the election campaign were part of the reasons why they got elect, which then gives them a mandate. Now, a mandate is not a date with a man, but rather an official order or commission to do something from the voting public to push forward with their election promises. Now, come budget time, especially from a new government, it's our first look to see whether or not they kept true to their election promise. So in this segment, bear with me as I go through a couple of the key points made during the federal election campaign, and then take a look at the budget, which only happened a couple of days ago, and we'll see just how well our current government is going. Now, if you are still glazed over at the thought of talking about politics and budgets, make yourself a cup of tea, come back in five, or if you're driving home, focus on the roads, you shouldn't be glazing over. All right, first point. Electricity and our power bills. In the lead up to the election, the Labor government did promise to cut our bills by $275 by 2025. Let's take a listen.
Reducing power prices by $275.
By 2025, $275 a year.
$275 a year.
We'll get power prices down by $275 a year.
Will we get cuts? Not anytime soon, with the government warning that power prices will go up by 50% and gas prices will go up too. So instead of cutting $275 a year, it is expected that we'll be paying up to $1,000 more this year in electricity and about $600 in gas, with blackout warnings already being given. And when asked about the $275 cut in power prices at the press club in Canberra by the media the day after the budget, so yesterday, here's what happened.
About 40 minutes ago, you said you're going to have a serious go of being as upfront as you can be with Australians. Given that, and given there's probably a one-word answer to this question, should Australians still expect that $275 off their power bills, particularly off pre-election prices?
Yep, it's in the budget.
It was about four words.
The $275 savings on energy bills, the Finance Minister Jim Chalmers said when asked was, and I quote, in the budget. When questioned about this by the opposition Finance Minister in question time.
A short time ago, the Treasurer was asked whether Australians can expect $275 off their power bills. He said, yep, it's in the budget. Page 57 of the budget says prices will increase by 20% this year and 30% next year. What page refers to a reduction of $275?
It does give me the opportunity to explain to the House and to explain to the relevant journalist who asked me the question that I misheard the question at the National Press Club. And I say, as I said to Charles when I rang him straight after the Press Club, I rang Charles and I rang Laura Tingle, and I said, I thought you were asking me a different question. I misheard it, and I answered a different question.
Misheard the question? That's a big whoopsie. And that also seems to be the way Labor deals with things when getting caught out telling fibs to the media. Now, misheard the question? Where have we heard that kind of excuse before? All right. On the election campaign.
Do you remain committed to Operation Sovereign Borders, and if so, do you support the retention of temporary protection visas?
Yes. Earlier on, I heard half the question and didn't hear all of it. Labor's policy is to support Operation Sovereign Borders. We support offshore processing. We support resettlement in third country.
Fun fact, On 97 occasions before the federal election, Labor promised to cut power bills to all Australian households and business, even though the $275 figure referred to the price in 2025. But for this election promise to come true, the average New South Wales customer bill will need to drop by $1,367 between 2024 and 2025. So I'm going to chalk this up as an election promise fail.
Reducing power prices by $275.
By 2025, $275 a year.
$275 a year.
We'll get power prices down by $275 a year.
Now, cost of living. Oh.
This cost of living crisis.
From a cost of living.
Cost of living crisis.
Issues of cost of living.
Cost of living.
Cost of living.
Means cost of living is a massive concern.
Cost of living.
Enduring cost of living.
Cost of living.
Cost of living.
Cost of living.
A huge election promise from the Labor government. A mandate, if you will, to give the Australian public who voted them in cost of living ease. Well, check this box if it relates to you. Cheaper childcare, paid parental leave, cheaper medicine, housing affordability in the form of 1 million new homes built over 5 years beginning 2024, wage growth for aged care workers, and funding to support increases to award wages, money to the unions. These are the promises by the government to do something about cost of living in the 2022 budget. Did you tick any of the boxes? I ticked one, the cheaper medicine. As for everyone else, nothing. Nothing. And with increasing interest rates, inflation and mortgages, things are going to get very tough for everyone else, especially as it is predicted that there will be job losses as unemployment will rise 1% to 4.5%. That's approximately 140,000 people who will lose their jobs in the next year. The budget also announced cuts to over $9 billion from regional infrastructure spending. Motorist petrol prices are expected to rise. Renters will lose out too as rents go up. And truck drivers will be slugged with an extra 8 cents in tax for every litre of fuel they buy, with Labor increasing the heavy vehicle road user charge, which will most certainly be passed on to consumers. We will pay more at the checkout for this. There was some good news. We were told that the bottom line is rosier than previously expected, with a deficit of 2022-23 now forecast to hit $36.9 billion, which this is less than half the $78 billion that was forecast in the March budget delivered by the former coalition government. There was some news about extra funding for community radio, which is exciting. I think there was like $4 million for community radio. So let's hope Tuza gets a little chunk of that. There was heaps of other issues that I could talk about on the budget, but I'd probably need a few more hours, or at least the rest of this hour, to do it, to be honest. And, everyone else is talking about it. So with that, let's move on.
It's not too much of a disaster. Will he get through an entire show without offending someone? We are so open your with the Troy Murphy Show. Have a yabba-dabba-doo time. A dabba-doo time. You'll have a gay old time.
Ponder this. The world did not end in 2012, as the ancient Mayans predicted. But everything did start to slowly get weirder from then on.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support, or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our website 2SSR.com.au and click on membership to download the application form.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney, and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7 p.m. on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
Sound of the Shire, 99.7 2SSR FM.
It's time now for Sutherland Shire local news.
Community consultation is taking place on a proposed second commuter car park at Como train station. A 34-space ground-level car park will be located within the rail corridor on the northwestern side of the station, near the station entrance on Como Parade. The project will include a new footpath from the car park to the station entrance, lighting, wayfinding signage, fencing and landscaping within the car park. Transport for New South Wales said, subject to planning approval, construction was expected to start in 2023. Residents can give feedback about the project up until November 4. Also in local news, results of a recent report by Beachwatt Programs set out to determine the water quality of the beaches across New South Wales has found that Cronulla beaches have ranged from good to very good. Very good means that the beach has excellent microbiological water quality with very few sources of human waste and is considered safe for swimming almost all of the time. Good means that the beach is suitable for swimming most of the year. However, beach goers are advised to wait a few days after heavy rain. The very good beaches in the Shire are Green Hills Beach, Wanda Beach, Allura Beach, North Cronulla Beach, Shelley Beach, Oak and Oak Park. The good beaches are Boat Harbour and South Cronulla Beach. As for the rest of the state, the Hunter region took out the win for the most healthiest beaches in the state. Now, for the worst beaches, the seven worst beaches across New South Wales, the New South Wales coastline are Coogee Beach, Casey's Beach and Surf Beach on the south coast, Toowoon Bay and Terrigal Beaches on the central coast, and Woolgoolga Main Beach and Emerald Beach on the mid-north coast. And to local sport, Jubilee Station, the home of the NRL Dragons, along with Sydney FC and AFL teams, will soon be getting a name change. The current sponsorship with NetStrata for the name NetStrata Jubilee Station expires in January 2023, and as a council managed venue, the council wants to maximise commercial opportunities to continue managing and maintaining the community asset. Council is offering this sponsorship for a minimum of a 3-year period with further three on option. And that, my friends, is what's happening around the Sutherland Shire in local news.
Now for your traffic and weather together as we take a look at what's happening around the Shire for your drive home.
I will get it right one day. All right, it is day one. Day one back. Of course, I'm not going to know how the Commodore 64 works. Tomorrow, Friday, mostly sunny day, tops of 25 degrees. Saturday, the weekend, 26 degrees and sunny. Bring on the weekend because the sunshine continues on Sunday with tops of 23 degrees. Guess who's doing gardening? Monday, next week, the rain starts. What a terrible way to start off the week. That's Monday, the 31st of October. Showers developing, tops of 28 degrees. 90% chance of rain on Monday, dropping down to a 40% chance of rain on Tuesday, which I think is Melbourne Cup Day, 25 degrees top temperature. Wednesday of next week, sunny, 21 degrees. And that is the weather. Now for traffic, no major incidents in or around the Sutherland Shire, apart from a road closed in the Royal National Park. That's Gary Road from Sir Bertram Stevens Drive. The road is closed in both directions. And taking a quick look at your reported incidents around the Shire, you can call it in on 9545 1800. There seems to be police, it was reported about 8 minutes ago in Taran Point, on Taran Point Road. That pothole on the Kingsway is still there. Not sure which direction that is in. I think that is heading towards Taran Point. Any problems with traffic, make sure you phone it through 9545 1800. You're listening to the Troy Murphy Show. We'll be right back.
It's crazy and it's zany. It's delirious but grainy. Tastes a little gamey. The Troy Murphy Show.
Weird. Unique. It's just like a train wreck. You just can't stop listening.
So tune the radio dial on. Thursday night, 6 from. We're gonna put the ray on. The Troy Murphy Show.
Ponder this, gluing a rat's tail to someone's backside does not make them a rat, but them calling the police when you do, does. Batman.
He's ready for his close-up.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Do you enjoy a drink on a night out? Do you sometimes drink too much? Have you ever been booted from a pub or venue for being a little bit too tipsy? This is not a community service announcement, ladies and gentlemen. These are genuine questions, because if you answered yes to that last question, pay close attention. How would you feel if you were sent to a time out zone to sober up instead of being ejected from the venue? You know, like a naughty, naughty, naughty child. Well, liquor license laws are set to undergo their first major review since they were introduced in 2007. Now, a discussion paper canvassing possible reforms comes ahead of the first major review of laws governing the service of alcohol in New South Wales pubs, clubs, restaurants, retail and takeaway stores. Time out zones are one of the things being discussed in this paper, or as they like to call them, harm reduction areas. Oh, that's so politically correct of them. Now, it's a kid's time out zone. It's a naughty corner. You're sent to the, what was that, nanny? The British nanny? Naughty corner. Anyway, that's what I feel like this is going to be much like. These are being proposed for all licensed venue to avoid intoxicated patrons being removed from the premise while they are vulnerable. You know, not quite all there because they're drunk. Now, I understand why this is done. You don't want to be booted out or boot an intoxicated person out of your venue only for them to get hurt in a way that a drunk, intoxicated person can. It's dangerous. There could be lawsuits. But nanny state much by the introduction of harm reduction areas, or as I like to call them, timeout zones. I'm not sure how you feel or how you would feel about being put into a naughty corner for being too drunk on a night out. But I don't know. For me, I wouldn't be comfortable. You know, because you can just imagine it. You'd have a grumpy security guard standing there telling you, you know, when you can and can't leave this timeout zone. There'd be other heavy intoxicated people around you. You know, there'd be a bucket in the corner. You'd be lucky to get a glass of water to help you sober up from a dirty pitcher that was brought to you by unhappy bar staff. You know, I'm not one who likes to be detained either, especially against my will, especially when I've had a drink or two, because I'm not quite, you know, myself when I've had a drink or two. I don't know. This is a no from me. I hope it doesn't. I hope it doesn't become a thing. Have your say. Jump on the Troy Murphy Show Facebook. Search the Troy Murphy Show. Click like. Let us know what you think to these timeout zones, harm reduction areas. Sorry, I've got to call it the right thing. Harm reduction areas. It's a no from me.
Stay tuned. More from the Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Hi, Kirk Pengilly from INXS here. And whether it's music, sweet things, puppies, movies, we all love our treats. But our eyes need treating too. 300,000 Australians, including me, are affected by glaucoma. Diagnosed early, glaucoma can be managed. Left undiagnosed, it can cause blindness. So treat yourself by treating your eyes to a simple test. Book your test at treatyoureyes.org.au today.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downey. Gerald Albright. Brand new heavies. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Sunday, 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
From Illawong to Cronulla, the Shire's 2SRFM.
Ponder this. They keep making Final Fantasy, but stop making the never-ending story.
Thank goodness radio doesn't have a smell.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Button up my sleeve. Presto! No doubt about it. I gotta get another hat.
It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Now, let's take a quick look at everyone's favourite billionaire, Elon Musk. Aside from selling $1 million worth of his perfume, Burnt Hair, how ridiculous was that as a publicity stunt? And how amazing his dedicated followers and fans to buy something that hasn't even been made yet and no one knows what the scent is and you're being sold that the scent is burnt hair. I don't know about you. I don't like the smell of burnt hair. Kind of makes me a little bit nauseous. But I certainly wouldn't be buying a perfume that smelt like that. Not would I be comfortable if I was around someone who smelt like that. But I'd understand if they did, because either they just had a birthday and burnt their hair, or they had bought Elon Musk's perfume. But anyway, this is great news, because he has notified co-investors who committed to help him fund his acquisition of Twitter that he plans to close his buyout of the social media firm and platform by the end of this week, which is exciting, ladies and gentlemen. And if you are on Twitter, be sure to follow me, Troy Murphy, easy to find. Got the blue tick of happiness, which is why I like Twitter. But he's hoping that when Elon Musk does buy Twitter, he does some cleaning up of all the spam accounts, because I don't know about if you are a Twitter user, I'm sure you feel my pain. I get on a daily basis, I get followed by spam accounts, busty blondes daily. Or if Elon can't fix that, the spam accounts following me randomly on a daily basis, maybe if he could just fix the spam bot algorithm so I get bot followers from, you know, the gender I'm attracted to. Then, of course, with the announcement of Elon Musk buying, or, you know, going forth with buying Twitter this week, I can't wait to find out more about his plans to create the X, the everything app. I don't know why I did that voice. It just seemed to be the correct voice to do when talking about something I have no idea what it is. The X, the everything app. What is the X? The everything app. Well, Musk has in the past floated the idea of turning Twitter into the next super app, as par with multifaceted platforms popular throughout Asia, such as WeChat or Grab. Back in May, on the All In podcast, Musk said that the US needed a super app. And his plan is to either convert Twitter to that or start something new. But all he knows is that something needs to happen. Now, if you are in China, you kind of live on WeChat, Musk said. It does everything. It's sort of like Twitter plus PayPal plus a whole bunch of things all rolled in one, which is a great interface. It's really an excellent app, Musk said. And, you know, outside of China, we don't have that. So, interesting times ahead for Twitter, hopefully, because even TikTok is getting a lot of flack lately, being, well, you know, problematic. That's probably the best way to describe it. Follow me on Twitter. Search Troy Murphy.
Friday, Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, what a day. Tune your radio to the Troy Murphy Show. The Troy Murphy Show. Goodbye, Chris Cash. The Troy Murphy Show, it is for you. Thursday nights from 6 p.m. and then online all week long. Friday, Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, what a day.
And now for Sutherland Shire Road and Rail.
No problems to report for your drive home this afternoon, although the policeman driving around, he seems to have left Tarran Point and is back in Carringbar on the corner of Tarran Point Road and the Princess Highway. Of course, be careful of the pothole that is on the Kingsway as well. Around the Shire, there is another pothole on Port Hacking Road up in Sylvania. Heading north towards the Princess Highway. Be careful of that. If you do see any problems with traffic, make sure you phone it through on 95451800.
You'd be surprised how much it costs to sound this cheap.
Not happy, Jan!
The Troy Murphy Show.
Yes. It doesn't cost much to be this cheap. Rent time, ladies and gentlemen. You know, one of the things we love to do here on the Troy Murphy Show, we like to have a good old-fashioned rant. A good old-fashioned rant is what we're about to do here on the show as right now, for this story, we head to Germany to the... And I apologize for my destruction of the English language. Well, not really English, it's more German. The Barberini Museum in Potsdam. I probably pronounced that. No, without a doubt, I pronounced that incorrectly. Without a doubt. Anyway, what's happened this week? Climate change activists have thrown mashed potato at Claude Monet's Les Mulets painting before gluing themselves to the floor. The two last generation campaigners, that's what they call themselves, last generation. And here's hoping that they are the last generation of their namesake. They entered the museum earlier this week wearing high-vis jackets, and in true style of these radical activists, they filmed their destructive behaviour and posted it to Twitter saying, "We make this hashtag Monet, the stage and the public, the audience. If it takes a painting with hashtag mashed potatoes or hashtag tomato soup thrown at it to make society remember that fossil fuel cause is killing us all, then we'll give you hashtag mashed potatoes on a painting." Of course, this is on the back of activists in the UK who entered the Central London Gallery on the 14th of October and hurled tomato soup at a priceless painting by Vincent van Gogh, one of the greatest painters of all time. And, you know, after chucking the soup at the painting, one of the protesters then asked the gathering crowd, "What is worth more, art or life? Is it worth more than food? More than justice?" I won't tell you what I think the answer to that question is, especially when it comes to the lives of the protesters. I'll pick the art any day. After chucking the soup at the painting, the activists, their names are Phoebe Plummer and Anna Holland. These are the UK ones. And they were arrested by London Metropolitan Police on charges of criminal damage and aggravated trespasses. Now, in both incidences, I should warn that the paintings were not ruined, because these are, well, they're priceless, but if someone were to buy them, they'd be spending gazillions. Yeah, of which the pair, Phoebe Plummer and Anna Holland, and I keep mentioning their names because I'll get to that in a second, they were released on bail after their first court hearing on the condition that they do not enter galleries or museums and do not have paint or adhesive substances on them in any public place. Their trial is set for December 13 at the City of London Magistrates Court. Now, here's the opinion part that becomes a rant. I understand climate change is a thing. We all believe in climate change. We all want to do better for the environment. But is attempting to destroy history, culture, priceless artworks in the name of protest the best way to get your message across? No way in hell. Here's what happens. Art lovers, culture lovers, civilized people, the general public are turned away from these activists and their movements because of their antics turn people against the cause. Who wants to be aligned with a movement that destroys art? Art and culture is what is meant to unite us as one. Art is beauty, art is life, art is creation, art is not destruction. Art should not be destroyed in the name of a destructive movement. It's hypocritical. This movement is hypocritical. These activists are protesting the destruction of the planet, life, whilst destroying art, the life that is the creation of mankind. You can imagine the heavy polluters. Put your imaginary caps on. Let's put them on together. Imagine heavy polluters, whether it be companies or countries, because let's face it, countries are bigger polluters than companies. They sit there and they see the news articles and the antics of these last generation campaigners in Germany and the Just Stop Oil protesters in the UK. And I bet you, with our imaginary caps on, we're imagining these heavy polluters, they're all having a change of heart and promise to stop doing the damage that they're doing to the planet, all because of these protests. You can just see it happening. It's what's happening, clearly. Whilst I said it before, I do believe in climate change. I'm not a denialist. I believe what we should be, and of course I believe we should be doing something about it. I'd protest these activists long before I joined a protest movement against climate change because of their abhorrent behaviour and what they are doing to art. And I'd also protest against them because I'll be following their court cases and speaking out if the courts, you know, are light on their punishment, which I hope they are not.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Ever had that sinking feeling when a police car appears behind you? Your brain starts ticking, madly calculating how many drinks you've had. Did you know, last year in New South Wales, around 4.6 million drivers were breath tested? Don't forget, every police car is a mobile RBT. So, if you're worried about getting caught, you should be. Mobile RBT. You won't know where, you won't know when. Authorised by the New South Wales Government, Sydney.
Hi, join me, David Tunnicliffe, for the Gumbo Sessions, where together we travel in search of roots-inspired music from around the world. Like a good gumbo stew, we mix and match ingredients to create a fusion of sound to inspire and delight music enthusiasts everywhere. Celebrate the music of Planet Earth on Monday night from 8 till 10. The Gumbo Sessions. Don't stay home without it.
Real live local radio. 2SRFM 99.7.
Ponder this. When you clean the lint trap in your dryer, that's all little pieces of your clothes that you just never will ever get back.
It's like a Sunday roast for a vegetarian.
By all means, move at a glacial pace. You know how that thrills me.
It's the Troy Murphy Show.
coming towards the end of the show. Don't forget, up next, Lauren with A League of Her Own. Is it A League of Her Own? It is A League of Her Own. I read that correctly. Looking forward to finding out what is happening in the world of sports. Not that I understand sports. I am more the political side of things. Lauren is the person you go to for sports. As I said before, it's your Thursday night lineup, kicking off at 5 p.m. with Jamie Sims with the music. 6 p.m. it's me with the talk and the politics, and then from 7 p.m. it's Lauren with sports. Oh, perfect, perfect Thursday lineup. Now, of course, talking news and things that are happening in the news with 5 minutes to go until the top of the hour, which of course is when Lauren starts, the BBC are reporting that clothing giant Adidas, or Adidas, depending on where in the world you are living and pronounce things, they have cut ties with rapper Ye, also known as Kanye West. It took me ages today after reading this story. It's like, why do they call him Ye? I'm not a huge rap person or a follower in the rap world. I don't get it. I don't care. And I'm going, why do they call him Ye? And obviously, yeah, it's Kanye. He's the last two letters in his word, Kanye, in his name, sorry, is Y-E. So that's why they call him Ye. Anyway, I assume that's correct. I could be wrong. Anyway, Adidas's Yeezy brand collection with Kanye West was put under review after he showed a White Lives Matter t-shirt design at Paris Fashion Week. And then days later, the rapper posted bizarre anti-Semitic comments on Twitter, after which Adidas called it quits with his collection. Get this, at a loss to the company of $388 million. That's a lot of shoes, or whatever it is Adidas is selling of Kanye West's designs or stuff. That's a huge sword to die on, to cut ties with someone. Anyway, Instagram has also suspended Ye's account, as well as Twitter, days after following his remarks online, and also business partnerships that he has with the bank JP Morgan and other clothing retailers like Gap. They're all looking at ending their relationship with him. The mental note here, ladies and gentlemen, is that there are consequences to freedom of speech. Also, don't be a douchebag. You know, he wore a shirt, a White Lives Matter shirt, which is, you know, he wore it to cause a stir. And whilst I don't believe people should be silenced for their views or what they say, he would have well known going into that situation that there would be backlash, especially massive backlash from BML Live supporters, because that is hugely prevalent at the moment. I guess one could say Yeezers. Ye is up Ye Creek without Ye Paddle.
Away. Let's look at the news for another day from 6 p.m. Thursday. It's a Troy Murphy show. Listen your cares away to an opinion like no other. Okay, from 6 p.m. Thursday. It's a Troy Murphy show. Turn your cares away. Let's look at the news for another day from 6 p.m. Thursday. It's the Troy Murphy Show. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
It's the Troy Murphy Show.
And that's it. The Troy Murphy Show done and dusted for the first week. You know, we got the Commodore 64 working mostly. didn't fully blow up. Didn't need to rely on any music. Great stuff. We'll be back next Thursday night from 6 p.m. Of course, coming up next is the one and only beautiful Lauren with A League of Her Own.